Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mum?
Yeah, darling?
I'm fed up.
With what, darling?
This. I'm fed up with it.
With not being with me all the time.
I'm fed up. I want to cuddle you. I want to be able to see my friends. I want to be able to have a bit... I don't know. I'm fed up this week.
I'm not as bad. I've kind of given up the ghost now.
You're the optimist now.
I've accepted it all. Can we just thank those people that sent me the lovely veg box? What's the name of them, Jessie?
Oh, Keith. Well, it's Keith, who's lovely and has wonderful smelling cologne when he drops it off. Taylors of Maltby Street. We love them. They're brilliant.
Oh, my God. I'm in love. Is Keith married, darling?
I will ask him next time.
Oh, do. You know who your priorities are. When times are tough, fruit and veg man would do me well.
That is something that I have really enjoyed, having such amazing produce. But I'm kind of overcooking now. I went through like a real frenzy where I was cooking and I was really creative. And now I look in the fridge and I'm like, I don't know what to do. And this bloody sourdough that I started is just sitting there looking at me miserably, being like, love me, feed me. And I'm just there and then I close the bloody fridge on it. So tonight we have an old friend, one of the first people to ever come on our podcast.
He was our second podcaster.
And he's an old friend of ours from our Skopelos days. So if you haven't listened to the first time he's been on the podcast, it's the wonderful Chris Sweeney of the brilliant podcast Homo Sapiens. And he's now joining us with his new co-host, who is the spectacular Alan Cumming.
I am so excited. I've been a fan of Alan Cumming for a very, very long time. He's such a fabulous actor. I'm sure I have seen him in, well, I don't know where Cabaret was.
Hamlet? Cabaret? He's been in three different productions of Cabaret, Mum.
Well, he was just in Endgame, I think, at the Old Vic.
Yes, with Daniel Radcliffe. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I always loved him in The Good Wife. That was my favourite series, and he was just so fabulous in it.
He's OBE. He's got an OBE for his services to film, theatre and the arts, and to activism for equal rights for the gay and lesbian community. But he's very, I think he lives in the US now. He's a US citizen, and he does a lot of campaigning for gay rights.
He's the perfect host for Homo Sapiens, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I want to know who he pulled in on this series, because their names are huge for this series. It's amazing.
I know.
So as much as we absolutely love Will Young, we're very excited to speak to Alan Cumming, who he's kind of got this beautiful voice and does musicals and has hosted the Tony Awards. And he's been up for Tonys, I think, and has done like these three times of Cabaret, which kind of changed his life.
So when he comes on, should we say, welcome and bienvenue, welcome.
Yeah, you can.
That's from Cabaret, darling.
Yeah, cool. Go ahead,
okay.
Mum. You try it out.
Being the singer of the family.
I'm sure no one's ever done that to him.
I shouldn't think they have, actually. They're probably a bit in awe of him.
Oh, but this diva, she isn't scared of nobody. Anyway, you and Chris go to the theatre together, don't you?
Yep.
You're like best friends.
Yep. I either go with Chris or I go with his husband, Will.
Chris has shot two of my videos, actually. He shot a nightlight one where I've never looked so good. I think he stretched me, he bleached me, he bloody did everything to me. The best lighter in the game and champagne kisses.
His mum is also one of my best friends.
Yeah, we adore them. And Anne Sweeney actually has inspired many a dish on Table Manners. And in the cookbook, she introduced the famous Marbella chicken to us.
And the savoury cheesecake.
Anne Sweeney made the dish for Greg Greg, James and Bella.
Yeah.
Because they were vegetarians and you were scared. But that was a long time ago, Mum. You ain't scared anymore.
Oh, I'm not scared. I'm a full-on veggie now.
You've been roasting cauliflowers, I hear.
I've been roasting cauliflowers. I've been eating aubergines.
Celeriac steaks.
I made pasta alla norma.
Ooh, thank you. I love Vino, you.
That is so good.
Which one?
Hi, everybody.
What's so good?
The white wine. It's amazing.
God, he looks so happy. And I was like, what? You've just listened to my album on vinyl? It just came. He meant the wine. I was like, yeah, it's good. Anyway, so we have Homo sapiens coming up on Table Manners. Special circumstances. Alan Cumming, Chris Sweeney, hello and thank you for joining us. And what are you sipping on, Alan?
I made a delicious soup sort of thing, more of a stew sort of thing, out of leftovers in my fridge.
Oh, yeah. Come on. What's in it?
Well, it was potatoes and ramps. I foraged these ramps in the forest outside my house. There's these funny little sort of, they're like wild garlic or a leek, and they're called ramps, and they come in the springtime and they're delicious.
Where are you actually living, Alan?
I'm living, right now I'm in the Catskill Mountains of upstate New York.
Oh, how gorgeous. I thought you were in a log cabin somewhere.
I am.
It's like Twin Peaks.
No, it looks like the latest series of The Sinner.
Oh, what's that?
He's living in a in the forest.
Mum's the only person that still watches it.
Bill Pullman. I'm obsessed with The Sinner.
Oh, Bill Pullman. I love him. I was in a film with him.
Which one?
It's called Battle of the Sexes, the one about Billie Jean King.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, he was the mean person from the union that, or the,
yeah,
the league that wouldn't let them.
I find him very attractive.
I do too. Yeah. I wouldn't kick him out of bed for eating biscuits.
No, he's he's in the sin, in the third
fruit
sinner. He's got sciatica, which I can relate to.
Oh, and, God, how sexy,
I just
Mom.
Think he's, no, but he's so attractive.
Sciatica. He's not going to shake you now.
No, but at the very beginning one, he had all these odd sexual predilections and he had to go and see prostitutes. That was why he was called the sinner at the beginning.
Is that why he's got sciatica now?
Hang on, can I ask a question? Is the sinner not the show where somebody stabs someone?
Jessica Biel.
Yeah, where she stabs someone at the beginning.
But we're now on the third series. And the guy in it is so gorgeous. And he is a big LGBT activist.
LGBT, Lenny. LGBT.
Have
Lenny.
I got it wrong?
Yeah.
It's a sandwich you're talking about.
Matt Bomer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he's the one in The Latest Sinner. He's so handsome. I could faint.
Isn't
basically,
he?
You know, Mum has been on lockdown for too long. Yeah.
And do you know what? He's 41 and he only came out 6 years ago.
Weren't we talking about my soup? I'm sure we've veered off into Bill Pullman and Matt Bomer. I mean, I haven't finished the ingredients of my soup.
No, I know. And I'm still wanting to know what a ramp looks like.
Oh, sorry, darling. That's me. I just interrupt. I'm just dreadful. Carry on, my darling.
So I put ramps. I fried some ramps and some potatoes. And then I put in water and paprika and stuff like that, some stock. And then I put in some leftover kind of stuff that was in the fridge. I made a kind of a tomatoey, cheesy stew the other day with this kind of vegan chicken in it. So it's got potatoes, it's got lumps of vegan chicken, it's got a sort of a cheesiness.
Wow.
It's delicious.
Is it seitan?
I think that might either seitan or vegetable protein. The stuff that's kind of chickeny, yeah.
Alan, are you a confident forager?
Yes, I am.
This is how she's going to chat up Bill Pullman.
Have you ever heard of a ramp, Chris?
Well, Alan has explained what they were to me, but I hadn't prior to that.
Had you, Jess?
Never.
You just sat there nodding and I had to ask the question.
Well, I know what wild garlic looks like, so I kind of thought, you know, I can imagine.
It's a version of the same family. And I'm a confident forager because I know where they are. Because it's near, this is my house in the Catskill Mountains, so over that way to my left, a bit east I suppose, in a sort of little low-lying grove, there's absolutely tons of them. So I'm confident because I know where to go.
I had a bit of a foraging situation where I was in an Airbnb before this. I moved into my house and I thought I could smell wild garlic somewhere. And I ended up, I think, eating a hyacinth because it was like... So I did not have a good foraging experience.
That's,
have you ever had a bad foraging situation? Have you ever eaten the wrong mushroom?
No, I'm very wary of mushrooms because we had a man come because there's loads of mushrooms everywhere. And of course, some are great, some are deadly. But we had this man come to do a little tour with us around our forest, and he's called the Fun Guy.
Oh, Fun Guy!
You get
oh,
it?
Fun!
I
And he kind of told us, you know, you sort of walk into the forest and you don't realize there's this mushrooms that are everywhere, everywhere you look. And so he gave us this really great tour. But then there's some, I know where there's, our friend down the hill showed us where there's chanterelles. They're really, and I've eaten them and they were delicious. But I don't, I'm a bit wary of, the fun guy said I could always call him up and take a photo and send it to him and he would advise us.
That's good.
Yeah, I'd be very careful.
Yeah.
One of our guests on the podcast this season is Cynthia Nixon and she is also a keen forager. A mushroom fan, and she said this thing, which is that there are either, what was it, Alan? There are young mushroom foragers and dead there ones. Are brave mushroom foragers, yeah. But there is never, they are never both because you can, if you're too brave, you end up eating something poisonous and dying, basically.
Speaking of your podcast, your wonderful podcast, the lineup for this series is pretty top notch, guys. Well done.
Thanks.
It's amazing.
Thanks.
Well done.
Call it Alan's Rolodex.
Well, I was going to ask, you know.
I love how we still call it Rolodex. Nobody, I've never had a Rolodex, but nobody actually has a Rolodex anymore, but we still call it, it's like a metaphor.
Very true.
Interesting.
It's romantic.
It's such a nice image of Rolodex, isn't it? It was weird actually.
Flicking through.
Yeah. Because Alan and I spoke, we thought, oh, let's do a season of the podcast together. And we both had the same idea at the same time, which was to do icons. And weirdly had both been thinking about that. And
spooky.
So we just wrote a note to every person and, you know, a lot of them were people in New York and stuff, but then we spoke to Stephen Fry, who we discovered is a fan and was quoting bits of the podcast at us when we saw him, which was so sweet. So it was really nice.
That's amazing. Yeah. So come on, tell us who else is coming up on the series.
We've got Hannah Gadsby.
Yeah.
Patti Smith.
Flippin' heck!
Laurie Anderson.
Oh my God.
Sadiq Khan.
Love Sadiq.
He's been on Table Manners.
Side note. I find him strangely attractive. Just
he is
out
so
there.
Sexy. He's
thank
so
you.
Oh, I sexy. Totally wouldn't. I wouldn't kick him out of bed for eating biscuits either.
No. That's why Alan wasn't allowed to interview him. It would get too hot and heavy.
Yes, I wasn't there that day. A lovely boy called Jeremy O'Harris, who wrote a play I did. And
Slave. He wrote Slave Play, that Toast of Broadway thing.
And then this really great young guy called Yves Mathieu, who's this sort of musician.
Oh,
model.
Alan, I remembered this. He's not actually in this series. We're going to put him in the next one.
Ooh,
I keep forgetting.
Gosh.
Do you remember? Because no. We're going to do Trailblazers for the next one.
Oh my God, you're making it like a kind of magazine. Like it's like you've got different, like this is the icons and then the next one's Trailblazers. I like that.
We love a theme.
It's nice to do a theme because you get to like muck around with it as well. You know, like so we've got Murray Hill, who's a drag king. Because everyone knows drag queens, but Murray Hill for this season is a drag king and it's an icon of that. You know, like what a progressive, incredible, that's totally an icon. But then we've got people like Stephen Fry, who is also an icon in a way that my mum would know, you know.
Absolutely. Oh, well, I can't wait to hear them. And how did you two meet on the podcast when you were a guest?
Yeah, I was a guest on it on the second season.
That was a great episode.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
And when Will was doing it and... I'd known Will before, and also Chris and I have the same agent, and so that was a little connection. And then I was a guest on the podcast, and I was really reticent because I sort of think there are too many. It's really quite good that this pandemic has happened, in a way, because I think it justifies how many podcasts there are, because now people are desperate to hear things. Because right before that, I thought there's just too many podcasts in the world. And so now I think, you know, maybe that's the rise. I think Zoom actually caused this. It wasn't a lab in China. It was Zoom trying to get their business better. They caused the pandemic and then in conjunction with podcasts.
And how's it been? I mean, are people now coming up to you and being like, hey, I love the podcast? Or are they, you know, like, because I get it that they go, hey, I love the podcast, or I love Lenny, and then they go, I love your first album, and I'm like, fuck you. No, I love it. But is it interesting and weird being on the other side? Are you quite enjoying it?
It's funny, like, well, nobody's coming up to me right now, of course, because I'm in the middle of a forest, but on on social media, yeah, people are, I think... It's sort of funny that people say Alan was he's an actor and he's a writer and now he's a podcaster. Like it's a new career I've got. I quite
I
like
love
it.
That.
But also it's funny like that thing you say about when people come up to you. I used to play a game with myself that I would know what they were going to say when they came up to me. Like I would sort of do a kind of, you know, computer generated in my head little deduction of who they were, what their age group, their kind of socioeconomic vibe, and I would be able to work out which of the things I'd been in they would see. Now I can't do that. I'm not able to do that anymore. And sometimes they come up and say things like, you know, I loved your book, or I love when people say something like, I really love your soap.
Soap.
That's a really good one. So
do you have soap?
Yes, I have a soap.
Oh, shit. I didn't know this. What? Yeah. A vegan soap?
I don't think it's a long time. I don't think it is a vegan soap, actually, because it's left over from, in 2005 or 6, I had a fragrance thing called Coming. And then I had various products, and this was the, and I still have bars of soap because they last. And the soap's called Coming in a Bar.
You are.
Isn't that great?
I mean, yeah. It's the gift that keeps on giving, that surname.
All available from alancumming.com/shop.
Thanks, Chris.
What does
got
Coming
it.
Soap smell like?
Oh, Mom, you went there.
It
come
smells,
on.
Sorry.
It smells earthy, leathery, sort of.
Smells like Bill Pullman.
it smells like Bill Pullman. Yeah.
Without sciatica.
Is it designed for men or it's a unisex soap?
Well, it was sort of designed for men, but then women started to wear it. So of course, immediately when women said they liked it, we're like, it's beyond gender. That's what we called it.
Oh, I love that.
How does it work with you two doing the podcast? Because you come over to the UK quite a lot, Alan, and then you've been over to New York.
Well, we did.
Chris?
I live in New York, you know, normally mostly, and we did the bulk of them in two visits that Chris made to New York. And then I was right before the lockdown started, I was doing a play at the Old Vic, and so I was there. And so we did a few more there. And now we're doing the in between ones, the Homo Sapiens extras. We do them like this on Zoom with our little machines that we're talking into right now, which I love.
Yeah, because we did it in sort of 2 week sessions in Alan's house in New York. It was really fun, and it was I think the whole point of Homo Sapiens was like it was meant to be like Woman's Hour, but for a queer audience, and so it's meant to talk about important stuff, but it's also supposed to be fun and just like conversations you have with your queer friends, and that is what I feel like Alan was so brilliant at. We just had a laugh. We had a week where we just sat down and chatted to people and had fun, and then we'd go downstairs and Alan would make us some lunch and then we'd chat some more, and it was just relaxed, and it was just really good fun.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Is Alan a good cook?
A brilliant cook, no?
Thanks. I've got a tip for you. I've got a cooking tip. So delicious thing today, my delicious leftover soup. I brought another bowl of it down in this. See this thing here? It's a little soup bowl with a little lid on it.
It's a proper soup bowl.
Tureen. And I stole, I've got 6 of them or 8 of them. And I stole everyone from the Chateau Marmont Hotel in Los Angeles.
That's my favourite place.
Me
did
too.
Did you do it one at a time?
I love it.
I sometimes did 2 at a time. I'd sometimes buy 2 soups and get them delivered to my room and then
but
steal
how
the things.
Big is your bag? Where did you put them?
I did it over the years. I didn't do 8 at once.
No, but where did you secrete a tureen?
I just wrapped it up into my socks. It's not a big, it's like a bowl. It's maybe
it's not as big as it looks.
Objects in the mirror look bigger than they are.
Okay.
It's
not as big as it looks.
But Alan, do you think everyone's talking about, Alan Cumming, that bloody tureen catcher? You know
tureen
what I mean?
I don't care.
They're like, lovely guy, kleptomaniac.
Slightly klepto when it comes to soup bowls. I'm also talking about the Chateau Marmont. They're getting some publicity out of it. I wouldn't have stolen them if I didn't think they were absolutely stunning.
They're gorgeous.
And they're just very useful to be able to put a lid on your soup.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
When you went to Buckingham Palace for your OBE, did you steal anything?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I was actually warned not to by my husband. I didn't. I wouldn't have. My favourite thing about going for that was that there was, you know, there's all this funny music. It was a harpsichord music playing, and it wasn't a real harpsichord. It was like a record, a CD of harpsichord music, but very, you know, genteel. And you're waiting, and there's all these different bits. You've got to go into these different rooms and all this thing. And all of a sudden, I realised that the harpsichord was playing Stairway to Heaven. Yes. And I thought some funny little, you know, footman at Buckingham Palace was having a laugh, putting on a CD of like harpsichord music playing 70s hits.
I love that.
That's hysterical. Who was in the lineup? Who were you next to? Did you get chatting?
Yes, I can't remember. It was lovely because it was like, you know, a lady who'd raised lots of money for the Women's Institute from Basingstoke or something. It was all different, you know, and a doctor who'd... I wasn't at like a celebby one. It was a very mixed thing. I liked it, but it was quite long. The best thing was just like being able to take my mum to Buckingham Palace. You know, it was like taking a little girl to Disneyland.
What did you eat
at Buckingham Palace?
Yeah,
I don't know. We didn't really eat.
There it's was just afternoon tea, isn't it?
With the drinks.
The Queen is not a good hostess with the mostest.
You can't put food near Alan in Buckingham Palace. He'll steal the bloody tureens off you.
I remember we went to that place afterwards, though. I've got a great picture that Grant, my husband, took. That place, Kettner's. Is it still called that?
Oh, yeah.
It's been all done up. It's so good.
That's right. We went there and had champagne and stuff and little snacks. That was good. But I haven't told you about my tip. So I was making my soup.
Oh, yeah.
And I realised that I touched my hair and I noticed a little bit of dryness. And because I'm growing my hair back in because I had a bald head when I was in that play. And so it's that funny sort of wiry going into soft, you know, and it grows. You realize how much your hair grows at different lengths. I've kind of got a little bit of a flick at the back, a sort of mullet flick. It grows a lot at the back. Anyway, I sprayed some, you know, you get that olive oil that you spray on a pan when you don't want to use very much olive oil. I sprayed that on my hair to make it less dry, and then I put some on my face as well.
And that's your tip?
And that's my tip. If you're in the kitchen and you realize you've got dry.
So it's not a food tip, it's using food to beautify yourself.
Yes. Yes, I've used olive oil for a lot of things.
Have you?
Actually, yes.
Alan, have you got any plans to come back to London to do any theatre whenever it starts?
Well, I'm not sure about London. Like the end game that I was doing at the Old Vic.
Yeah.
We had two more weeks to go at the... of the run when it was postponed, cancelled. So, I mean, the plan was then we would do that on Broadway.
You might still do it.
Yeah, but it's going to be a while. I don't see theatres being able to get back up.
Apart from when Jessie was living with me with her children and her husband. And apart from when Jessie left, the only other time I cried was when Cameron McIntosh said he didn't think theatres would open till next year at least. Mm. I mean, I'm heartbroken. It's the worst thing.
Me too. But I think, you know, one of the things, there's all these things people say, oh, maybe people could, like, every third seat would be, you know, I think that's the whole point of going to the theatre is destroyed, because you go to be in a group. It's a communal experience and it doesn't really work, both as an audience member or as a performer, to be doing it with every fourth.
There's no atmosphere.
No atmosphere. And I think it's interesting, you know, I'm doing... The thing I was going to say, I'm hoping to, by at some point later this year, I'm coming to do, I'm doing a dance project next year, supposedly, a solo dance piece with this great choreographer called Stephen Hoggett. And so I was supposed to do a workshop this August in Scotland. So I'm hoping that we might be able to do, you know, a socially distant workshop at some point this year and get that going. And then the other stuff I'm doing is I'm doing another thing for the National Theatre of Scotland, which is I'm about to film it. Actually, that's why I've got this... You see this funny microphone thing they've
lovely.
Sent me?
It's,
and you put your phone in. It's sort of like a steady cam for your phone, but it's got a big microphone with a big woolly thing on it. And I'm filming this. Like, I've been working with this writer called Johnny McKnight and a director called Andrew Panton. And I'm going into the woods around my house filming a little sort of three-part play that they're going to go live with and then put on BBC Scotland. So it's not really the theatre, but it's kind of.
That's really exciting.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's great the way that artists of all kinds, actually, I think, are really being really resourceful right now in the lockdown and finding ways to connect with people. And all the people, you know, I have a cabaret bar in New York called Club Cumming, and it's obviously closed. But there's so many performers who work there who are doing things online and managing to kind of, you know, think of ways to connect with the audience and also get paid as well. So it's been really fascinating to watch that.
Have you thought about doing a Club Cumming night on Instagram Live or Facebook Live?
There's certain nights, there's always something. There's a Club Cumming takeover every night, like different people, like on a Thursday, it's called Viva La Diva late on. And so they sometimes take over on Thursday and House of Cumming on Saturday and the Mondays thing, which is when everyone gets up and sings, they've got a thing. So there's, but we're thinking of maybe doing a sort of Club Cumming telethon because we're doing this thing to raise money for the staff and the performers who can't work right now. I've been doing lots of auctions and everything, but we're thinking of doing a telethon that we could, you know, have a whole evening that you could just tune into, and then we could, like, people could stream later. It's been interesting from that side of it as well, actually, trying to think of ways to raise money to help people that are not the normal, because you can't do the normal things.
But it's really cool watching people come up with ideas, because it's creative people having brilliant ideas. And, like, you know, like Jesse, you're doing your video, which is going to be all like people sending in videos dancing along and stuff. And it's fun to watch, you know.
I don't know. I'm doing a FaceTime or Zoom photo shoots.
Oh, I've done that. Yeah. That's amazing.
And I think that, you know, if they've got a good eye, why not? And also, it's kind of documents a time in history, and you're definitely not going to forget it. I'm definitely not going to forget putting out a record in COVID, but, you know. Alan, I feel like we need to ask you a few of the staple table manners questions, just because I feel like we could talk to you all day. So it's like, we need to know what growing up in Scotland. Did you grow up in Scotland?
Yes, on the East Coast.
And whereabouts in Scotland?
The nearest big town is Dundee. City is Dundee. And it was near a little town called Carnoustie on the East Coast. And I grew up in a country estate in the middle of in Angus.
And what was the dinner table like? Who was cooking? What were you eating?
My mum always cooked. We had, like, it was that Scottish thing where you would have this table would be set. There'd be biscuits and there'd be little plates with biscuits and bread and jam and butter and things like that all in the middle. So you'd have your main meal. And I always remember, you know, all Scottishy things like mince and tatties and a lot of soup. I'm a big soup man, as you can tell. And you would, so you'd have your sort of main course, and then you would move on to kind of like, you know, a biscuit or a piece of bread and jam. And it was always that kind of like high tea. You remember high tea where you'd have like fish and chips and then cakes? That was very, very like that. I remember, like, I used to have to set the table when I came home from school, and there was always like how many biscuits you put on the table.
Was your mum a good cook?
Yes, she was really good. And actually, she's been really great. She's kind of adapted to my weird vegan-y things. I've got a little cottage in Scotland. She always comes in like a little soup fairy and leaves all these packages of frozen soup in the freezer when I get there, and she makes them all vegan-y.
Oh, that's so nice.
She was a really good cook.
Is it near where she lives, at your little cottage?
Yeah, it's about, she can be there in like less than an hour. So it's really good. She loves to come into the garden and she knows all the neighbours and everything.
So then I'm presuming soup may be on your last supper.
I would totally have soup.
What starter, main and pud and drink of choice?
Starter would be soup. Starter would be a hearty, potato heavy, with sort of like, you know, a bit of chili, a little bit of a bite to it, kind of soup. And my main course, I think, would have to be, I'd probably, I'm torn because to try and represent Scotland, I might have stovies, vegan stovies.
What's in a stovie?
Potatoes and onions and meat. And all, it's on, and you keep it on the stove, and in proper way, it's very sort of lardy and kind of heavy. And it's also for when you're drinking, I suppose, and having a party. It was always like at New Year or at big parties they would have them. And it kind of, you keep it on the stove and you just go and you get a little bowl, and it kind of, I don't know, lines your stomach or so. But I have a vegan version of it, which is delicious. And or I might have a chili. That is very pleasing. I mean, I'm a peasant. I like peasant food. I like one plate of the same thing.
And then puddings. Are you a sweet person?
Well, I like to think I'm sweet, Jessie. But I'm not really a mad. I'm not really a mad puddingy person. I did make during the lockdown, for my husband's birthday, I made him a pineapple upside down cake that was something of a triumph. I'm not really a baker, but it went really well. I think I would just like some like vegan ice cream. I think kind of boring, and maybe some chocolate, maybe some dark chocolate and vegan ice cream.
Is your husband vegan?
No, he eats. He's mostly like with me. But he'll have shrimps. He has shrimps sometimes. That's his sort of, and he has cheese. He has cheese, proper cheese.
How long have you been a vegan for?
Me, about 10 or 11 years, something like that. Long time.
But it's got so much more popular now, and
yes.
I can imagine, 10 years ago, going out for dinner must have been a pain in the ass. You'd only get side salads and potatoes
this
or something,
is it.
Right?
Well, that's what that's the thing. But the thing is, there's always sides. I mean, but I was bored of being a vegetarian because I don't really like cheese that much. I mean, I don't like what cheese does to me. You know what I mean? It makes you really mucousy and I don't know, I didn't like it, the way it made me feel in my body. So I would really try, if you avoid cheese in a vegetarian diet, you're fucked. Because you're just, you know, it's everything, any restaurant's always got something drenched in cheese for you to have. So I was quite happy to, you know, if I go to a place where there's nothing I can eat, there's always like a tomato salad or something. But it's much easier now.
Yeah.
What was that restaurant we went, that you took me to in LA, that is like that institution that's like a diner?
It's called the Smokehouse.
The Smokehouse. It's an institution.
It's like Rat Pack.
Yeah, it's opposite where they used to film Friends, right? It's opposite a big studio, is that right?
Warner Brothers Studios, yeah. Warner Brothers Studios, where they made classic movies of the last 80 years. But they also made Friends there, yes.
Yeah, and I think they filmed The Simpsons there. And we met there for dinner.
It's all dark.
And it's like stepping into the past. You could be what is it? Blue Velvet crossed with Texas.
Any Rat Pack sort of film. It's all like red leather banquettes and low lighting and funny little sassy waiters bringing you massive martinis. And they bring the martini in a kind of a tray, and the little thing is in the ice. The vodka's in ice, and a bit like loose ice, all kind of chipped ice on this little tray. And
it's the biggest martini. It was the size of my head, and we had about four of them.
Yes.
And I got so drunk. And what was quite funny is, because you know when you're with a vegan, like some vegans are...
Vegan-y.
We were laughing about this the
vegan-y.
Other day.
Vegan-y.
Is why I'm saying it. Some vegans really get cross if you order, but I was so drunk, I ordered like a whole rack of ribs. And then as it arrived, I was like, fuck, I wonder if Alan's going to be really upset by me. Because, you know, in America...
Were you quite new into your friendship?
Yeah, like we didn't know. And it's like the rack of ribs was like the size of the table. You know what I mean? You're like... Yeah, and I was like, all right, let's get on with this then. I was thinking, I wonder if Alan's really judging me.
It was like the Flintstones. That's what it was like.
Yes, it was.
I don't judge people. I don't, like, I'm never weird about that if someone's eating meat next to me. I just think, you know, if they do that kind of, I hope you don't mind, and all that stuff, I say, I don't mind. If you want to have rotting flesh inside your body, that's your choice. That's what I say.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking was going to happen, you see? Luckily, I'd had four martinis, so the whole thing would have completely bounced off.
What, were they dirties or were they with a twist? Or
I'm straight up with a twist.
But do you remember that I said, can I have one with a twist? Which is, it's still not entirely clear to me. But like, so twist means a bit of lemon, right? But then someone was saying dirty at the same time. So they brought me one with like lemon and olive juice in it.
Yes.
Oh,
and
wow.
We'd traveled for an hour and a half in a taxi, and I took a sip and I was like, this is so fucking disgusting, but I think I'm gonna drink it because I just need a drink so badly.
You've always been good at drinking, Sweeney.
I know exactly. When Alan was saying that what they called stovies are good for drinking, I was like, amazed they haven't crossed my path. But
And also that waitress was a bit dopey.
Yeah, she was.
She was nice, but she was a bit dopey.
But who was it? The reason I was saying it's like the studio that they do Friends, because isn't that where, like, if you're in there, there's always, like, who came up to us? Thingy from Mad Men.
Oh, yes, Christina Hendricks from Mad Men.
Oh,
right.
My God, that sex bomb.
Totally.
Jesus. But also, she would have fitted that scene, I can imagine, that bosom and that waist.
Absolutely. She sort of slinked up, and she's also got, like, porcelain skin. It's really incredible. You know, she looks like she comes from another era. Her body shape and her whole kind of energy.
She was really sweet.
She's really lovely. I've met her a few times.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What are you both looking forward to? You know, once lockdown finishes, what are you going to eat? Who are you going to go and see? Which restaurant are you going to go to? Are you missing restaurants?
I'm not really missing restaurants. I think because where I am is a place where I come to be away from everything. And I think about cooking here all the time. I have friends here a lot, but we often come here, just the two of us. I often come here alone. So I think it's made it easier for me. I associate just kind of, you know, I enjoy cooking and all that. But I do, there's a vegan Chinese place around the corner from me in the East Village in Manhattan, which I called something Moon. See, I've forgotten the name of it now. Silver Moon, something Moon. Asian Moon, can't remember.
The place we went to for ramen?
No, that was Rai Rai Ken. That was delicious. No, oh, another okay. place. It's quite new. I'd love to go there. But really what I want to do is I'm looking forward to being back in my house in the East Village and again, cooking for friends, having a bunch of friends over. That's what I really like. I mean, I actually prefer that to going out in big groups because it's just easier to talk and you don't get bothered by people. And also, I love the idea of kind of, you know, I'm a sort of a, I like kind of making people food and welcoming them to my home. So I'm missing that. And I miss that. I actually saw pictures. I saw pictures the other day, actually, Chris, of when you were staying, when you were in New York, and I didn't recognize my own house. It was just a sort of funny angle. And I thought, oh, that's a nice place. Where's that? And I thought, oh, it's my house. So I'm looking forward to that.
I want to know what you'll be singing if you go on your Monday night to Club Cumming.
Well, I'm actually planning, like I'm thinking about, because I've had to cancel all these concerts and everything and like a tour in Australia and all that stuff. So I'm also thinking about next year, if you know, when we go back, I have a new concert show. And there's a song that came on my Spotify after something, you know, when they suggest things. And it's Lauren Bacall singing this song from Applause, this musical. And it's called Alive. And it's just, it sort of goes, I feel weary groggy and tragic. Something and something and fresh out of magic, but alive, alive, alive. I think I'd sing that one.
I love that.
I think we'll all sing that.
Do you know, it's so funny because we were talking about this the other day. Like, I feel like I crave going out now. Like, I'm over it. Mm. And like, we've actually had like a bad, the thing I made to eat tonight, and I haven't eaten much of, is my husband's ratatouille, right? It's delicious.
What does he do to make it so good? Because usually it's quite sad and sloppy when I do it.
There's been a bit of feedback about the amount of pepper he puts in, but you know, he won't listen to this. I've just said, please, can we switch up food from now on? Because it's getting a bit repetitive. I feel like I want to go out to a restaurant, to Campagna in Columbia Road in East London. And I want to eat like it's amazing Italian food that feels like it's cooked by a family. I really want to be around. I don't know when this is going to happen, but you know, the buzz of a night and who knows what might happen. Mm. I long for that.
I wrote a whole fucking album about it and thought I was going to go and have fun touring the bastard. And now I'm going to just have to imagine.
What are you doing? Are you doing like the promo stuff for it from home when you said you're doing dancing and things?
Yeah, it's quite fun. Like we've managed to make it look quite fancy. Like I've got backing singers, so we'll kind of all record it. And it's the joy of it being a dance record is that I don't need loads of live musicians. So I think I'm going to do this big night the night that it comes out and do like a bit of a dance.
I thought what was funny, Jessie, is that because I love your record, it's fucking amazing.
Thanks, Beth.
So I say this with love and respect, but I did think when I went onto Instagram and saw you sitting in a bath singing for a live Instagram live, which was great, but I was like, isn't it funny what we've come to in this coronavirus lockdown? If I'd sat Jessie down as she was recording her album, a disco album, and said, you'll sing this in the bath, you know, on television.
It was for charity. And I was like, if I'm going to sing in my bathroom, I'm going to sing in my beautiful, new, bloody, freestanding bath. That's what I'm going to do. Do you both think you've got good table manners?
Yeah.
And have they changed during lockdown?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm just letting food fall on myself in front of my husband, being like, what are you going to do? Leave?
Also, we don't eat. Like my husband's sort of commandeered. He's an illustrator. And so he's sort of commandeered the dining table. So I haven't eaten at the dining table for 2 months. I either eat at the kitchen counter or we have a little table that we have by the sofa that I kneel on and eat whilst we're watching telly. We have TV dinner mostly every night.
Yeah, we've been doing that.
And I have noticed that I have, because it's just the two of us. When things fall on the floor, I sometimes just eat them.
Oh, no judgment there. Absolutely.
Before the dogs get to them,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely.
Oh. Yeah. Mine's is maybe a 7 or 8 second now. Depends how fast the dogs are.
Yeah. It's a 1 week rule.
1 week.
That's fine. What's a table manner that you can't stand in somebody else that you just think is outrage? Oh, here we go.
I hate, you know, when people put forks in their mouths and then they grind their teeth along the fork as
God.
The fork out.
Never
you
get heard. That.
Oh. Drag it.
Get that.
Is it like a chalkboard?
I'll do it with this spoon, right? So you take a sip and then you go.
Oh my goodness. I don't know anyone
what I
like that.
Hate. I know. Like, I actually had an assistant who did that, and I said, I'm so sorry, but you're going to have to stop that or else we can't work together. I just
and
can't
did,
stand
did
it.
They?
Yeah, they just, well, we tried not to eat in front of each other, but when they did, I was like, remember the fork thing.
Fair enough.
Wow.
I'd probably smack their hand.
All right, Naomi Campbell.
Oh, yeah, also, I don't like when people, when they pull their fingers, and they go, duck, duck. What do you call that?
Oh, I love doing that. Yeah, cracking your knuckles.
Cracking, I hate it.
Do you do it?
I always do it.
I hate it. I've told assistants not to do that. I feel when it's an assistant, when you're an assistant, you can say, please don't do that. It drives me nuts. I mean, I wouldn't do it just to anybody, but I feel if it's someone who's, you know, I'm employing and it's something that really drives me nuts, I think it's okay to say.
I think as well, it's like one of those things that like it annoys some people, it doesn't annoy others. So you go, hey, you might not realise you're being annoying, but what's quite funny is we're doing an agony uncle section on the podcast this time round. And what always makes me laugh like a drain is that like someone will write in with a question and I'm like, well, maybe you could ask them if you could maybe think about this. And Alan's like, that's a fucking shit idea. Call them up, tell them what you think.
Oh, that's ridiculous, Christopher. Don't do that.
It's very funny.
I'm a bit more direct.
Oh, it's been so lovely to speak to you. And thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
So lovely. Look forward to meeting you in real life.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Can we do a Friday night dinner at yours?
Yes, definitely.
Lenny does an amazing Friday night dinner.
I'd love to see your vegan chicken soup, Mum.
I'm on it.
Challenge Lenny.
Yeah.
That was just fantastic. Chris Sweeney is just the best kind of host of a
I love him.
Zoom meeting. I love him so much. And Alan Cumming, he has so many anecdotes.
I know. So interesting.
That was just wonderful. It's exactly what I needed. It's picked me right up. I'm going to go have another glass of wine and actually feel really happy. They've sorted me right out.
He was very calming.
Yeah, that voice is beautiful.
First of all, his voice is amazing, but also his kind of acceptance of what's going on. He wasn't angry. Mm. It's we are now. Let's, you know, we'll just make the best of it.
Thank you to Alan Cumming and Chris Sweeney. Chris Sweeney, our first time ever returning guest, and what a treat that was. We love you so much. Homo Sapiens is back and has that incredible lineup. So go and listen to it. Thank you for listening. It's been really nice reading your emails. And so we just wanted to read out a few more this week. This one's from Kay Telford. Hey girls, thank you so much for your podcast. I've just started dog walking and loving listening to you in the forest near Glasgow and with all my furry friends. I've enjoyed your podcast so much that I booked to see you both in Glasgow with my mum for Mother's Day, but alas, it was not meant to be. I have instead bought us both your cookbook and we both love it. Looking forward to making lots of lockdown treats. Take care of yourself and your families and hope we will pick up your tour when it's safe in the world again. Lots of love, Kay and Kathleen, who's her mum. And this one's from Maria Lewis. I just wanted to say thank you for being so flexible and adapting the podcast to these special circumstances. I really loved it. And it's so nice to have some things carry on as normal. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. It's always such a treat to get these. We really do appreciate it. And we're so happy that you're still enjoying it, these special circumstances. We can't wait to cook for people properly. But in the meantime, we will keep on bringing you table manners, special circumstances. Take care of yourselves and we'll see you next week. Lots of love.
Bye.
The music you've heard on Table Manners is by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser. Table Manners is produced by Alice Williams.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.